go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kayla's in the building, nigga.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up, the show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, for another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 Valspar Championship. We've got your DK plays and more to get you ready for the week in action, plus recap the Players' Championship. First off, you can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Another week of golf in the books, and we actually had a fun week of golf.
We did.
It was fun.
Yes.
So what's your thoughts on Scotty being the first back-to-back Players Championship, the first to win the API and the Players back-to-back? You're just the first of a lot of things right now.
Yeah, he when he putts, it's just ridiculous. He was injured.
Yeah,
the I guess.
Injury. Yep.
Did they say how that happened? Did he sleep on it wrong? I never did see anything.
I think it was like a swing or something because it started like on like the 12th hole on Friday. I think it was Friday. And he just tweaked it and needed attention like right away to start working on it. Yeah.
It's, yeah, because he said he almost quit.
Yep.
Because it was hurting so bad and then just still managed to shoot 69 on Friday.
Must be nice.
Yeah. And then 68 and then 60, a bogey free 64 on Sunday, which is pretty impressive. Yeah. I mean, I thought more than anything, after Xander got up, going into the weekend, I really thought like it was his to lose. And it kind of was.
Yeah, I'd say probably just, still fair.
He could not putt on Sunday. I watched most of it. It was capped off with that missed eagle putt on 16. I mean, if he makes that, it's easily into a playoff. Him and Xander hit some great shots into 17. Nobody wanted to take that pin on.
No, they both did.
They had to, obviously. I mean, like, yeah. They knew what they needed to do, and, like, that was the best chance to make a birdie was on that hole. With a, you know, wedge in your hand, you have to fire at the pin. They hit, I mean, great shots in there. Mm-hmm. But nobody else was hitting at that flag, which was really strange. I feel like there's usually more balls. At least in the afternoon.
You'd think you'd want to be more aggressive. There's so much money on the line of the Players. Like, right. Every birdie counts. At that point, it's like Wyndham and Xander knew they had to birdie to even have a chance for a playoff. So, of course, like, what are you doing? It's like the old saying. It's like, you know, if you leave a putt short, like which Xander did on that eagle putt, by the way, which I thought was pretty bad. But, yeah, it's like, you know, you have to birdie here. So what are we even playing around for? Because
right.
I think it was before Fitzpatrick made his birdie. It was like 34 straight two putts or more, or something like that. It was just
It was like 4 hours between birdies.
Yeah,
which is crazy with a wedge in your hand. I know it's a difficult shot. Don't get me wrong. I mean,
oh, yeah, I'd probably find the drink too, but I'd go for it. Like, I'm here for one day. I'm not just hitting in the middle of freaking green.
These are professionals. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they have a wedge in their hand, and
They have a rough bumper around it this year. So what are we doing here?
Rough bumper, and you can play it off that. Just like Xander and Wyndham did. They played off that left side. Mm-hmm. Left of the hole anyways, and it feeds down to it. So, overall, though, I mean, it was a good week for the tour from the perspective of, you know, having good golf to watch, having stars up there, and overall having great weather. That's one thing that they definitely had in Florida this week was really awesome weather. I mean, you can't beat what they had, so.
That's perfect. Even Binion enjoying the beach on Friday afternoon. Got a picture of that. I respect Binion's game because people are like, that's the one of my many pet peeves. But, you know, any sport, because we see it in football, we see it everywhere. Don't start adding guys just because you lost money. Like, so when he basically said, fuck off, and showed a picture of his feet at the beach, like, that gained even more brownie points in my book for Binion. Yeah. Like,
I'm with you.
Because you know how pissed off he probably was just sitting there on the beach? Like, he didn't want to be there.
Right, he didn't want to miss the cut.
Exactly, I mean, let's be real about it. So
he just lost a lot of money by missing that cut.
And he's not a guaranteed guy in a lot of stuff. Like, he's fighting. So like he hates that. So
your $5 top 20 bet pales in comparison to how much money he lost by
exactly. Exactly. So I was really pumped to see him say that, and a few more guys get active on the Twitter over the week, and that'll be fun. But Benny on big brownie points in my book on that one. But yeah, fun tournament. Xander, you could just kind of feel it coming once Scheffler put the pressure on. It was just like Wyndham was, you know, he wasn't on. He kind of turned it on at the end, of course. But Xander was missing putts. And then when Scotty got real, like Xander must have saw a leaderboard or something. Then Xander couldn't even hit the fairway anymore. And then, or his approach shots were off. Like he was just slowly just falling apart. It was, that's why when he hit that shot on 17, I was like, whoa, okay, maybe. So, and then he missed that putt too. So it was just a trickle down effect for Xander.
Yeah. To be honest with you too, I mean, with Wyndham, I'm surprised he hit such a good putt on 18, which we haven't even mentioned. Yeah. The fact that that thing was halfway in the hole and somehow came back out, because he hadn't hit good putts all day until 17 was the best. You know, I mean, he hits, I guess, a few for par, but missed everything for birdie just about.
Well, it was one of those, like, I saw Saturday coming a mile away for Wyndham. Well, I figured it'd be Saturday or Sunday, but usually it's Saturday. When you go back-to-back 65s, like, all your numbers are off the charts for what you use. Like, there's going to be a regression day coming. That's just the norm for most people, not named Scotty Scheffler. But to do it back, I thought Wyndham might bounce back on Sunday. It was still pretty crazy that him and Scotty went 1-2 back-to-back weeks. That's very difficult to do on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
So that's impressive. Yeah, that putt from Wyndham, what I respect about it, because one of those, if he would have hit it softer, it probably falls, but if he hits it softer, does it actually get there type thing? He right. gave it a shot. That's what you got to do. You can't not leave it short. So that was good, because you had Harmon in the group before hitting out of the pine straw and almost putting from the same spot, essentially. Yeah. And he blew his pass too, but it was one of those where
he missed it low too. He didn't play enough break on his Harmon didn't. But
and Harmon was another guy just kept making shots. I was like, good Lord, this dude's just doing it again. It's fun. Like it was a fun four.
That was a hell of a guys. Call by you.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. Well, and what stunk is I had a lot of on DFS. I had a lot of them. Yes, I had him in one and done, and then Wednesday night at about 8 o'clock, I went to Scotty.
Oh, wow.
So it worked out well. It worked out well. No, I saw your face. I'm like, and I'll probably use Harmon this week now because it's another shot maker's like the iron plague type course. See where it goes. But I'm sitting there going, okay, this is a over $4 million purse. At worst, would I go to top five out of Scotty? Like Harmon's got so much more volatility. I need money.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Let's do this.
Yeah,
and Scotty shocked me. Let's put that, like, when his neck thing happened on Friday, I was like, "You've got to be freaking kidding me!" Like, because out of the two elevate events with cuts, I already had one guy miss the cut in my one and done, and then I had Obert and another one. He finished like 55th. I'm like, "This sucks. These are the money making events. Let's go."
Yeah.
So I pivoted to Scotty. Went for once a good pivot, but I liked Harmon a lot. Had a ton of shares of Harmon, so. We'll see where that keeps going as he's a pricey one again this week. But any other thoughts on the players? Like, I know people are complaining about the rough bumper on 17s. We did not get nearly enough water balls compared to usual. There's some people that liked the smiley and kids thing. I thought it was great. I always think it's great just having the guys. But I don't know. You probably watched. I didn't watch a ton until Sunday. I watched like the second half of Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't. I watched. I had a little bit on Saturday, but it was mostly on mute, so I didn't watch much. So I don't really have a take on. I saw some takes on kids and Smiley sitting on 17. Yeah. To me, like, I don't know why that pisses people off, but whatever.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see where that keeps going. It looks like kids might be getting a gig, so could be coming up soon. All right, let's get into the Valspar then. We got lots of past history and whatnot here at the Valspar. So, Ari, did you want to talk at all about the meeting in Bahamas, or you want to wait till next week?
Tiger and
Yasir and company.
Yeah, I have no idea about it. So,
They all met their golfing.
Yeah, I know that they met there, but what's the news?
And Yasir and Tiger are golfing today. That's all we know. Like, we have no. I was just gonna say the most good business things I've ever done in my life involve a golf cart and 18 holes with a new client. So I'm staying, like, at least that's where most conversations can actually happen.
Almost. Let's hope they figure it out, man.
But all right. Valspar, past fitness history. What do you got?
Taylor Moore, last year's champion, 10 under, one shot over Adam Schenck. 2022 was the second of Sam Burns back to back. Sam Burns won in 2022, shooting 17 under in a playoff over Davis Riley. He also won in 21, shooting 17 under, three shots over Keegan Bradley. 2020 was canceled. Paul Casey went back to back in 2018, 2019. 2019, he shot 8 under, one shot over Kokrak and Oosthuizen. 2018, he was 10 under, one shot over Patrick Reed and Tiger Woods. 2017 was Adam Hadwin, 14 under, one shot over Cantlay. Jordan Spieth, past champion in 2015, and 10 under in a playoff over a couple of guys. Well, one of them was Patrick Reed, but Sean O'Hare is the other. And that's pretty much all that really matters. Gary Woodland, past champion. I don't know if he's even in the field.
But, he is in the field, yes.
And Webb Simpson was runner up that year. I mean, a couple more guys cheap there
as well this week.
So,
all right, Valspar. This is, we are at the Copperhead Course, Innisbrook Resort in Florida. It's the last of the Florida events before they head to Texas, before this wonderful golf course in Augusta, Georgia, that will get there in a few more weeks. We're almost there, Jesse. Almost yeah. there. But we get Copperhead Course, and this is a fun one because it's not like an exposed course with a ton of water and all that stuff like we get, you know, most of these Florida courses. It almost has a feel to me like you definitely know you're in the South just because of the Bermudas and the sometimes it gets kind of hot and humid down there and whatnot. Not as much this time of year, obviously, but you get a lot of that feel like you're not going to get that in California, what this course looks like and whatnot. Actually, kind of resembles a little bit of like a Spyglass in a weird way, but not as friendly. It's a very tree-lined golf course. You don't get like the ocean in play. You do have water on 8 to 9 holes. You have about 75 bunkers on the course. So you had a lot of that. But what is it? It's a ton of tree line. There is some penal rough, not like we've seen the last 2 weeks, but penal rough, very narrow fairways that kind of bottleneck. So it's more of a layup golf course. If you're going to bomb it, you better be damn accurate is what it comes down to. Because if you miss it all, you might be in the trees. You might be scrambling for your booty off and whatnot. So it's a lot of approach game. It's so you still need a good tee shot, obviously. So tee to green can be a great metric, but it's going to be a lot of shots from 175 to probably 225 long iron play, give or take. You got 5 par threes on this course because it's a par 71, 7,340 yards, so a pretty long par 71. 5 of the par threes, most of them are between 2 and 225, so decent size par threes. You got your three par fives, so make sure you take advantage there. They're not gimmies on this course due to the layup nature of this golf course. So there's a reason why when Jesse mentioned past champions, a lot of them are in the, you know, high single digits to low double digits winning. You got to scramble here. Par is a phenomenal score in a lot of these holes. Bogey avoidance will be key, but it's a lot of finding the fairway, good long iron game, be able to scramble and save par if necessary and go from there. It's a fun course, lots of course history. It's one of those with the way the layout is that you can't just bomb and gouge it. That previous history here does kind of have some good weight when it comes to the Valspar. And I guess I'll throw out the cliche thing is they have the snake pit, like we've seen the bear trap and some other places. It's three of the tougher. I think last year it rated second on tour out of the toughest 3-hole stretches on tour. And that's the finishing holes at Valspar. So that'll be a ton of fun as well. So when you think you're getting comfortable, don't get too comfortable. Because the snake pit literally might bite you is the whole, you know, joke to that conversation. So Jesse, what kind of stats are you looking for this week?
Yeah, I mean, you think you did a very good job there as far as the description of the course. You got to have accurate guys off the tee more so than distance. Scrambling matters, and then plenty of course history to weight as well.
All righty, let's get into the DK score. Now, I actually have a better field than usual. I think it's like 13-ish or 14 top 40 players in the world, which in the years past, we always had the match play after this. So people would take the week off between, you know, API players. They take Valspar off, go play match play. Now they're just telling Houston, see ya. That's kind of how a lot of it's going. And so we got 4 guys over 10K this week. We got Xander at 11-2, Sam Burns at 10-9, JT at 10-4, and Jordan Spieth at 10-2. We originally also had Tom Kim and Patrick Cantlay. They both withdrew a couple days ago, but we got those 4 guys over 10K. Jesse, who you liking up here?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to like Xander after. I mean, I obviously didn't win, but he flashed some really good form last week, coming up one shot short of winning or at least getting the playoff of the tournament. 25th API the week before that, Genesis, he finished 4th. He's probably going to win sometime soon, finished 12th here in 2022. So, you know, he's definitely playable. Sam Burns, another guy who's never missed a cut here, back-to-back champion, like I talked about, in 2022, 2021, and then finished 20 or finished last year in 23, finished sixth. So that's three straight top sixes for him. Not the form coming in. I don't know. I mean, like, it's not great. He's not, like, in my opinion, trending toward where he's going to win soon. But this.
Did you hear that? That's what an estimated 500 horsepower sounds like. Go, give it to you. How about that? That's a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system with 18 speakers and a Beosonic sound experience. That's our legacy. You ready to be a part of it? Let's go, give it to you. Unlock the energy of the all-electric ZDX Type S. Order now at Acura.com. Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Is a place that he obviously likes quite a bit. And, you know, previously coming in here, it's not like last year he finished sixth and he finished 35th of the players and missed two straight cuts before that. So, you know, it's just a place that he likes quite a bit. And then JT at 10-4, you know, three straight top 13s for him. He's really his worst finish when he makes the cuts, 18th since 2015. He did miss the cut in 2017. So the course history is there. He missed the cut last week. I didn't even realize that. I watched, and I know you've kind of commented a little bit about it on X, that you watched the full swing.
Yes, I've watched all of it over the weekend. Yes, JT douche stuff at the at the, was it PGA Championship dinner? Like, dude, come on. Like,
yeah.
And he knows the camera's on too. That's why he that makes right. It even worse. He's like, come on.
Yeah. But your comment about the good old boy shit too. Like I'm currently on the second to last episode. Or I'm on the last episode.
Well, you've seen enough of it then, so you know what I'm talking about.
Right. But like, I don't even know if I'll watch the end of it because I didn't watch the end of that quarterback thing. Because I knew what was gonna happen. I knew Patrick Mahomes was gonna win the Super Bowl. Like I didn't need to see it, so I don't know that I need to see them lose.
The only reason I would say see it is there are some interesting quotes, at least in my mind, in the end. But most of it, yeah, you're right.
did they talk much about? And this is obviously going off a little bit on a sidetrack here, but did they talk much about the interaction with Rory and the caddy? I can't remember.
Oh,
I
think it was Bones. They have a whole thing on that. Okay. That's almost where it ends. It's like then they show the final day and they show the U.S. thinking they have hopes and then it gets shot. And then the whole Ricky conceding the putt thing, some comments on that as well.
Okay. All right.
So well, that's cool. Where it's like that. And then I don't know if you've got to it yet. Again, we are off the rails here, but screw it. It's the Valspar. I was like the nerve, but then just showing how great of a guy Keegan is. If they would have told me to film me while I'm watching the Ryder Cup, I told you, go fuck yourself. And he literally was watching the Ryder Cup with his kids and letting them. I'm like, dude, you're an amazing human being. That's all I have to say. Or you're a hell of an actor. One of the two, but damn.
Yeah. Yeah.
After getting told no, I would not be sitting there like, yeah, not happening.
We got to figure something else out, man. I mean, I don't know. It is hard to win over there though too. I mean, like, it's just hard to win. It's hard for them to win over here. It's hard for us to win over. It's just the way it is.
And I just they posted. I didn't realize that they're playing in Ireland in 2027. Course looks freaking beautiful. Looks like another Marcus Simeone type place where you have to it's typical English or European golf course that U.S. will think we know what we're doing and go to shit probably.
Well, at least we got a chance to win it back before then. That's it for me. I think JT is playable. I know he's coming off the missed cut, but he's played here enough, and he's got a lot of success at this particular golf course. And he is playing much better this year than he was last year where he finished 10th. I'm picking three of the four. I would say
– I'm not touching Spieth either.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to play Spieth. It's you know, I don't know that I'll even play any of these guys, but I think that like trying to jam in Xander after last week is something that I will consider.
Yeah, no, it's very interesting. Like, this is the kind of tournament Xander comes out and wins. It's not a major. Like, this is the thing where he does it. Still a tough golf course, shows he's a really good golfer. Like, he's first in my model over the last 24 rounds. He's third off the tee, second approach, first tee to green, first bogey avoidance. A lot of the stats we're looking for, he does it. So I think he's still a very good play. It's just a matter of how is everything between the ears over from over the weekend. I'm imagining it's okay. It's not the first time it's happened to him. So he's got that going. Sam Burns, obviously, course history is amazing. Even when he doesn't win it, finishes sixth. So that's a great call as well. And anytime you're looking for iron play, JT's interesting, especially like even last week when he missed the cut, which, okay, here's another one. Did you see Smash GC's quote tweet of JT's comment from Wednesday of last week?
No.
When he says, I don't care what the strength of field is. I don't want an asterisk by my name when I win it. And then when he missed the cut, Smash GC quote tweeted it with a great, I can't remember what the comment is now, but absolutely amazing. Yeah. It was like JT has got owned a lot this last week. That's all I have to say. It was a rough go for JT. So let's see how Valspar does for him. 10-4, price tag. He's 17 in my model. He's 99th in the proximity I'm looking at, 111th in the par three scoring. Those are the two of the more key things this week. So that kind of leaves me a little sketch, but I can't ignore him. Like last week, like I was going to say, when he missed the cut, it was all putting. Last week, he actually hit the ball really well. So I think he's trending in the right direction. There's no doubt about that. But if I am paying up here and I get like you, maybe I'm not. 9K is pretty solid. Burns and Schauffele would be my top two options. 9K range, we've got Brian Harman at 98, Cam Young, 96, Sungjae, 94, Tony Finau, 93, Nick Taylor, 91, and Minwoo Lee at 9,000. Who are you liking in this range?
I will say I like Brian Harman, but I'll let you talk about him. Cam Young, I think, is playable. You know, he's never played here, but he hasn't missed a cut since the 3M Open back in July of last year. So it's been a long time. You know, finished 54th last week, 36th the week before that. So the Florida swing's not been great, but he is a solid option, I think, to make the cut. Sungjae has played here twice, made the cut both times, 29th. And fourth in his two appearances at this event. And it appears like maybe he's trending in the right direction. 18th, Arnold Palmer, and then 31st last week. Nothing like great rounds from him last week, but it feels like that's just kind of what he needs to get his head back on correctly and start moving in the right direction. And then $9,000, Minwoo Lee. Is he going to be popular? I don't know. He's never played here. But he's made so many cuts in a row, it's ridiculous. He hasn't missed a cut in almost a year, maybe about 10 months since he last missed a cut anywhere in the world. And he's coming off a made cut. Players finished 54th, made cut, API 44th. He's got the upside to get inside the top 10, top 5, potentially win. So Minwoo at 9,000, most definitely. I do like Brian Harman, but I'll let you talk about him.
Yeah, Harman at 98, I like a lot. He like doesn't rate it. He's 46 in my model, which will make some wonder. But you look at a dude that is tournament history, maybe not ideal, missed cut, but a fifth and a missed cut. So when he did make the cut, he played well here. And just, you know, recent form, second, 12th at the Arnold Palmer and the Players. We talked about how good he is as a Pete Dye guy. This is not a Pete Dye course, but a lot of Pete Dye courses are about like your approach and hitting certain spots for your next shot, basically a setup golf course, which is what Valspar is. So that's why it would make sense that Brian, when he's on, could play well here. So he might be popular now after the last couple of weeks at $9,800. But then again, it seems like he's never popular even after he won the Open Championship. So Brian Harman would be a guy I'm definitely interested in this week. Cam Young, he's fourth in my model. I talk about it every week. He's so hard for me to get behind, but I'm just slowly putting him in a couple of my five lineups every week just because, like you said, he's not missing cuts at all. It's ridiculous how well he's playing in that regard. But it's like 54, 36. Those aren't going to help us here, but they've got a fourth, a 16th, and an eighth. Okay, we can play with those. So it just makes you wonder, like, what are you going to get from Cam Young? You mentioned never played here before, but at 96, I'll jump back on that one. Nick Taylor at 91. I think we're going to get some low ownership here. 22nd in my model. He's third in approach in this field. And he's like, hey, just coming in playing good golf. Talked about it last week, T26 last week, and he fell apart on Saturday. I think he shot four over on Saturday because I had him rostered in a handful of places, but really good week. 12th at the API, 39th at Genesis, first at the Waste Management Open. So good run of golf here for Nick Taylor. And at this golf course, 10th last year, 70th, miscut, 24th, miscut. So he's made three out of the last four cuts, including a 10th place last year. I think Taylor at 91 is very, very intriguing to me. I think he gets overshadowed in this range with the quote-unquote elite names, which I get. So those would be my main guys. I can't argue Sungjae because what you said, he is coming around. Eventually, it's going to click. Finau, I never seem to get right anymore. So Finau. And then Minwoo is like the ultimate boomer bust GPP play. So I get it. I totally get it. If people want to play those guys, fine. But those are my big three for sure. 8K range, you got Keith Mitchell at 89, Seabez 88, Eric Cole 87, Keegan Bradley 86, Aaron Rye 85, Doug Gim 84, Hostler 83, Adam Hadwin 82, McNeely 81, and P. Raj at 8,000. Who you liking here?
Keith Mitchell at 8,900 at the top there. Two out of two made cuts at this event for him, and he's made five in a row. At least one top 10, a couple top 20s. So playing pretty solid golf right now. Tends to play a little bit better in the Florida swing. Aaron Rye, he did make the cut last week. I played him. Finished 35th. He did not look good to begin with. He was hitting balls, I think, in the water a lot on Thursday morning. But bounced back. So that's three straight made cuts for him. He's never played this event. Doug Gim is playing really well right now. Finished 27th here last year. 16th. At the Players, 16th, Cognizant, 8th, Mexico, 12th, Phoenix, 13th, Farmers. So if that's not somebody, I'm going to go ahead and go back over here real quick to my DraftKings, and we're going to go ahead and just select him as a outright. And then also, too, another outright that I do have, just to tease a little bit, is Mav McNeely, 8,100, 36th here last year. 9th last week, and is playing really, really good golf. You know, he's coming off an injury, didn't play from June until November last year. And then since the injury, you know, has really, really played really good golf. I'm really mad that I missed. I'm so mad that I didn't play him last week and just completely whiffed on that, even talking about him. I mean, he was $6,300. He was 2% owned. He finishes 9th. I mean, that's what you need. And then is it a P. Raj week?
He's got great course history. There's just other guys at this price point. I like P. Rodgers when he's cheap, and that could be a detriment to me. I mean, he plays well, but I'm not going to go here at 8, though.
Unchecked. On to you.
It could happen. But there's other guys that I like. Killer Keith, for instance, $8,900. He's 5th in my model. He's 1st off the tee over the last 24 rounds, 6th tee to green, 5th in par 3s, 8th in par 5s. Coming in with form that I think we can get behind here. Yes, 73rd at the Players ain't great, but 9th at the Cognizant, 19th in Mexico, 17th at Phoenix. He used to be like Bermuda Keith before he actually started playing well everywhere. So keep that in mind as well. Hasn't played here since 2021, though, so different Keith Mitchell. I'll give him a shot. Same with Seabez. We got a guy coming in phenomenal form here with Seabez. 13th at the Players, 44th at Arnold Palmer, missed at Cognizant, 24th at Genesis, 28th at Phoenix. At 88, I can take those. So those two I like a bit here. Aaron Rye, I rode that roller coaster with you. I had 1-6-6 that cashed very well and a 5-6 that was close. The 5-6 had Aaron Rye, who made it on the number. This is the one guy that didn't, or he made it in at -1 on the number. The other guy I missed was Lucas Glover, who missed it on the number. Otherwise, that would have been a hell of a 6-6 because it almost made as much as the 6-6 I had. But my point is, you mentioned Aaron Rye struggled Thursday, phenomenal Friday. And then kind of just, you know, did his thing over the weekend. Nothing great, but nothing horrible. Never really went on that charge. Phenomenal iron player, though. So that's why I like him a lot. He's 12th in my model. He's 1st in good drives in this field, 11th tee to green, 2nd from 175 to 200. So he's a very, very good guy for this kind of course layout. And then you mentioned Doug Gim. I'm glad you praised him because I was going to. He's 3rd in my model. You mentioned how great he's been playing lately. In this field, last 24 rounds, 5th tee to green, 11th in approach, 8th from 175 to 200. Doug Gim in this field is 1st in par 5 scoring in this field, and he's 5th in bogey avoidance. Like, those are amazing stats for what you're looking for at this golf course, so I totally understand why you might want to put, like, I don't know if your book has each ways, but I know a top 20 on Dougie Gim looks pretty strong. Obviously, he took the outright. I think that's a fun little bet, but he rates out very well here, so I'm with you on that. Then I had Matt McNeely as well. Like, the ratings won't look as great because it's more like the last two tournaments where it feels like he's really putting it together. He's playing well, like you mentioned, But what we've seen in the last couple has been great. Usually a very good putter in general, but over the last 24 rounds, first around the green, first scrambling, same thing, 15th tee to green, 8th in bogey avoidance. Just a matter of fine-tuning some of the approach play. That's like his detriment over the last 24. It was obviously much better last week at the Players. If he can continue that kind of approach play here at the Valspar, $8,100 might be too cheap for him. So I think that's a great call on your part. I like Mav quite a bit as well. I like almost have more fun finding the guys that aren't maybe ranked high in your model that should be based on stuff like that, and Mav would be a dude to point out. 79, it's a small 7K range, so I'll say that. Straka, Moore, Putnam, Olsen, Taylor Montgomery, Horschel, Todd, Glover, Ryder, Fox, Berger, Shank, Bhatia, Thompson, Ryu. Who you like in the 7K range?
Yeah, Taylor Moore, man. I mean, obviously the defending champion here. He did miss the cut in the year prior and then goes on to win the next. But he hasn't missed a cut himself since the Open Championship back in July. I mean, not really great finishes, you know, just kind of 30th, 40th kind of deal. But still, I mean, $7,800, not bad at all. Billy Horschel, I mean, I don't know what to do with him. Like, he's a Florida guy, so typically, you know, you're like, hey, he's in Florida, but his course history is awful, and he's coming off a miscut to Players, but he did finish 9th at the Cognizant, so he's okay. I think Lucas Glover is most definitely playable this week. I think, you know, if you played him last week and he missed the cut for you and it was on the number and just so happened to be the one guy out of 6 that missed the cut, I would go back and play him this week.
Yep.
Because he's played here a lot. He hasn't missed a cut here since 2016. He's not played every single year, but...
You haven't heard about the McCrispy yet? Well then, you probably haven't heard the sweet silence after the first crispy bite either. Go try it for yourself to hear the best not sound you've ever heard.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The years he's played, which is the majority of them, he hasn't missed a cut. And then he's coming off the missed cut. But before that had, you know, 3 straight top 35. So I think Glover at this price especially is playable. Shank at 71, second last year. Come off a 19th place finish last week. And that is all I have in the 7K range.
All right. Taylor Moore, completely agree with you at $7,800, defending champion. Playing good golf right now, 17 from 175 to 200. He basically average everywhere else. Par 3 is not great, but 33rd in my model. I like some Taylor Moore. Then I drop down to Lucas Glover. I am 100% going to be playing Lucas Glover this week after the burn last week. He's 15th in my model. He even rates out well, so it's hard to say. No, like he's 7th in approach. It's his putty. He's 144th in the field. Jesse, can you tell me how many golfers are in this field?
144.
Dead last. Yes. dead freaking last. So that's the key. Like we said it even last year when Glover had his hot stretch, he started putting. It's amazing how that golf game works. Ask Scottie Scheffler. He's been really bad on par fives, 127th in the field on par fives, but man, 16th in good drives, 8th tee to green. Like he's just really good everywhere else. If you can fine tune a couple minor things, he'll at least make the cut, you'd think, and maybe make a run for some good finishes. Sam Ryder intrigues me. Over the last 24 rounds, he's 24th in my model. He's 10th in approach in this field, 17th in good drives, 10th from 175 to 200. And when you look at Sammy Ryder, he finished 19th here last year after 3 straight missed cuts. So there's like an argument against course history is he missed 3 in a row. So if we would use course history, don't play Sam. Well, a 19th finish at $7,300, I'd be pretty cool with that. I'm guessing he wasn't even $7,300 last year.
Right.
He's coming in with a 16th of the players, 21st the Cognizant his last two events. Looks like he might be rounded into form a little bit here. So Sam Ryder at $7,300 I do like. Berger at 72, he's one of those guys I'm going to make sure to have at least one or two shares of each week while he's cheap, because he shows signs every time out there that he's really close. Like, you can see it with Berger. He just hasn't put the four rounds together, and I don't blame the guy because he just hasn't played in forever. Like, he missed the cut at the Cognizant, 28th at Phoenix. Like, it's been a slow schedule for smart reasons, of course. Also not qualified for these special events as well, and he ain't flying to Mexico, folks. Hate to break it to you. But Berger has never played here before, so I could see the caution, but I'll take a chance at 72. Shank at 71, like you mentioned, he's been boom or bust this golf course his entire career. And then I'll mention Ryu at 7K. He's never played here. He's missed two straight cuts. Well, I believe one was on the number. T48 in Mexico, so not great finishes, but in a tournament, he's awesome because he goes for the gusto or he doesn't do anything at all. He's 13th in my model. His putting's atrocious. His scrambling's really bad. But other than that, 17th in approach, 20th tee to green, 14th from 175 to 200, even 27th in par fives, 24th in bogey. Like, that's great for 7K. It's just a matter of can you somehow not completely blow up? That's what he needs to avoid. I think maybe an event with a lower cut line could help a guy like that out. We'll see. But Ryu at 7K is very intriguing to me. 6K range, who are you looking at?
Start up top with two of the guys at 69. Jimmy Stanger.
I said the same thing when I saw his name, so I don't blame you one bit.
I want to say Stranger, but it's Stanger.
He's a stranger to this show, that's for sure.
Yeah. He has missed two cuts here, but his last start here was 2018. He missed the cut. 2017 missed the cut, but he's made four straight cuts on tour, including a third place finish. That was at Puerto Rico. He made the cut last weekend at the Players and finished 35th. Victor Perez made the cut last year here, finished 45th, and has three straight made cuts on tour, including a third place finish at Puerto Rico. Joel Dahman, man.
Yes, love to see that.
Yeah. So three out of three made cuts here for Joel at this event, and is apparently he went bogey free for like the last, I guess, at least the last three rounds or something. I don't know. He played really, really well the last three rounds. So I'm hoping he's figured something out. $6,800. He is worth a snag there. Neesmith at 6,500. Two out of two made cuts at this event. Made the cut last week. Finished 26th. Davis Riley at 6,400. Another guy who's made two straight cuts at this event. He did miss the cut last week. Bud Cauley did not play last week and hasn't played this event since 2019. But his last time out was the Cognizant Classic. Finished 21st at the Cognizant. Bryce Garnett, 6,200, miscut, 27th miscut, 31st miscut at this event since 2015, his last five starts here. But he won Puerto Rico and then got into the Players, I'm assuming because of that, and finished 35th. Hayden Springer, 6,100, never played here, but three straight cuts made for him on tour. Scott Stallings has played here a lot. Mm-hmm. He hasn't missed a cut here since 2016. He hasn't played here. He didn't play here last year, but 16th in his last start in 2022, but he's missed four straight cuts on tour. And that's it for me in the 6K range.
Yeah, this is a major range of do you take upside or just the course history? Yeah,
there's some guys there. I mean, there's some names.
It at least helps you get your Xander if you want him. That's for sure. Vic Perez, I'm with you. Like, he's 45th of my model. I'm still waiting one day for Euro Tour to be linked in with all this. That'd be, you know, common sense fun. But 45th of my model, like, his off the tee game's rough, but he's like, he's 101 off the strokes getting off the tee, but he's fifth in good drives. So that's good. He's 11th in the par threes. He's 23rd in approach in general. Like, a lot of things point in the right direction. That's just in U.S. events, obviously not the Euro events where he's played well also. Jimmy Strangers, I'm going to call him. I'm with you. He stood out for me just that recent form. Joel Dahman, though, I wanted to mention him, like, and I'm glad you did. We obviously saw what he did last week, that T10. He's 11th in my model, and if you look at his profile on the stats I'm looking at, very similar to Lucas Glover over the last 10 rounds. So it shows that at least Dahman's game is rounding into form because he's 143rd in this field in putting. Only person worse, Lucas Glover. And he's 123rd in par fives. Glover was 127th. Otherwise, he's 10th off the tee, 17th around the green, 2nd in good drives, 3rd tee to green, 20th in bogey avoidance. Like, all really good things you're looking for on a golf course like this. So Joel Dahman at 68 is another one I'm looking at. I think he's very, very live here. He's probably a little more popular now between the Netflix, and he actually's playing well. So that's a bummer. Mac Hughes, a guy that's not rating out beautifully. He's 106th in my model, but he's always a kind of an up and down dude. But right now it's 26th the players, 30th at the Arnold Palmer, missed the cut in Mexico, 31st the Genesis. So Mac Hughes, I know Genesis was a, you know, elevated event, smaller field, but Mac Hughes is playing a bit better. Missed two straight cuts here, 13th in 2019, missed cut. So course history not great, current form pretty good. You mentioned Neesmith, great course history. I liked him as well. Same with Davis Riley. And then Bud Cauley, I knew you'd highlight him anyways, so that made it easier because that's been your guy, and for good reason, though. And, yeah, I'm just interested in what he keeps doing, similar to like, the Berger thing. Cauley's showing the golfer we once saw. He's going to have hiccups just like Berger will, but they're priced appropriately that they can spike for you as well. Because Cauley's ranked 16th over the last 24 rounds in my model, and I only know if he's played 24 rounds in his return, so that's kind of sketchy, but he's played very well, as you've mentioned, since his return. Now it gets really interesting. Second in my model at $6,300 is Grayson Sigg. Over the last 24 rounds, Sigg's is 6th in approach, 20th in good drives, 18th in scrambling, 10th in tee to green, 4th from 175 to 200, 1st in par 3s 200 to 225, and 14th in bogey avoidance. Now, those are probably Puerto Rico and Mexico influenced, but swinging it well, missed cut at the Players, 56th the Classic, 19th in Mexico. There you go. That helps. But at this course, 57th and 48th, two straight made cuts in his only two appearances. So Grayson Sigg, it could be a punt for you at 63. A couple others like Carson Young, always boomer bust. He's 8th in my model. Just a matter of putting. He's horrific at putting. Bryce Garnett as 31st. He's $6,200. So those would be a couple more guys I would take a peek at. And then I had Scott Stallings highlighted for the same reason you did. We've seen it a million times with Scott Stallings. He just shows up once in a while, especially where he likes to play well. So yeah, this would be a place. We've seen it a million times. He also could be 8 over through 9 on Thursday, and we wouldn't be shocked.
For sure.
I checked one guy off in the 5K range. Do you have anybody you're interested in? Because I have not played a 5K guy yet, and I'm trying not to.
Yeah, I don't think I will, but Austin Cook is one. He finished 10th in Puerto Rico his last time out. He has missed three straight cuts at this event, but finished 9th in 2019. And then Zach Blair at 5,600 finished 10th here last year after missing the cut three straight times. And made the cut last week, missed it at Cognizant, but made four straight before that. So, I mean, he's not contending for anything other than just trying to make the cut, but that's all you're asking this dude at 5,600 to do. So that's the two that I have.
Yep. The only guy I put down was Zach Blair. So we're on the same page on that one. Not going to elaborate any farther on that deal that is called Zach Blair. All right, let's recap things real quick. 10K range. Who do you like?
I'm going to say Justin Thomas.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll take the Xander plunge. I really like, the more we talked about other players, I don't think I'll be up here, but I'll take the Xander plunge. 9K range.
Minwoo.
I'm gonna stick to my guns here and I'll go Brian Harman, but man, I hope Nick Taylor's low owned. That's all I have to say. So I'm gonna have a few of those. 8K range.
I'm gonna say Mav.
That's a good one. I'll go Dougie Gim. 8K is loaded, at least for a field like this.
Yeah.
7K range.
Taylor Moore.
I guess I have to say Lucas Glover, right?
Yeah.
That's just fair. Just got to say Lucas Glover. Yep. 6K range.
I'm going to say this dude, Jimmy Stanger.
There you go. I'll stick to my guns here. I'll say Grayson Sigg. If you want to punt one, make the cut at 63. Just make the cut and see what happens. If you're building cash this week, I guess you can technically. Where would you like to go?
Yeah, I mean, I would just start with like Gim, Mav, Taylor Moore.
Yeah, that's fair. I would say Gim, Mav, and Rye. Yeah, I just stay in that 8K range, see where it goes. If you're starting a tournament lineup though, where are you going?
Yeah, it'd be like Minwoo, probably Schenk, and you know. I don't know, man. It's GPPs are, I mean, like you go so many different ways here. There's so many different plays, but so Minwoo, I said, who did I say? Schenk, yep. And then Jimmy Stanger.
There you go. Yeah, I'm going to basically similarly, but I'm going to go with Brian Harman, Nick Taylor, two 9K guys, and Grayson Sigg. And you can build from there. All right, we heard Jesse added Doug Gim to his picks. Who else are you liking this week?
I got Minwoo checked off at 30, Doug Gim at 45, Mav at 50. I tried to go back through and look at like some of these higher number guys, like Berger at 65. He should be 165.
Yeah. I like Berger for his DFS price, not
to right. I do too. I would much rather play him on DraftKings than bet him to win.
Yes.
And it falls off a cliff here. So like, good luck. I mean, Dahman's at 100, but
I'd rather try to T20 that or something. You can get some
T20 numbers there. Really difficult once you get past about 50.
Like you got McNeely's plus 240 to top 20.
Yeah.
That's intriguing.
We'll throw that on there.
I saw Dahman earlier. Let me just do the old Dahman's plus 360 to T20. I know it's coming around the top 20 or the top 10s. So that's probably fool's gold, but who knows? Like Bud Cauley's plus 400 or 4-1 for the team dragon home. There are some definite fun ones. I know Dyer Work and a couple other guys hit it up in the old Discord, and we talk like your boy Stranger is 4.5-1, Sig's 4.5-1. But let's do this for fun, T40 world. We'll probably still get plus money on those guys. This is where it gets interesting. If you want to goof off and just throw money at the wall, which is always a fun thing. Somewhere Stanger. There he is. Stanger's plus 1.5-1. He's 1.5-1 to top 40, which is not bad if he makes the cut. Sig's plus 1.4-1. So if you just want some little plus money, it's out there. If you're feeling frisky, who knows?
Yeah.
Lots of ways to go. I got one day I'll live in a state where I can gamble and I'll have all kinds of top 20s and stuff everywhere and just be yelling at my TV on the weekend and hoping it all works out. But it'll be fun. Looking forward to it. Any final thoughts for the Valspar before we head to Texas?
I don't. Best of luck.
All right. Well, that'll do it, folks. Make sure you check out Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I am at BD Intric. Really looking forward to seeing someone not named Scotty Scheffler win this weekend. But we'll be back with you guys next week. For now, your 2024 Valspar Championship preview. Catch you on next time. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when they come up, the show goes on.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.